Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear plus my friends in the third row and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, everyone. Welcome into Attacking Third for a special edition Wednesday episode alongside Sandra Herrera. I'm Lisa Carlin. We have a lot to get through, so thanks for listening to us. A reminder that this episode is also live on YouTube every single Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. You can join Sandra and I live on youtube.com/attackingthird for the entirety of the show. Sandra, today we are jumping into NWSL midweek matchups. We have three matches tonight. We're going to take a goalkeeper vibe check throughout the NWSL. Check in on the keepers, what they're doing, a little pulse check, if you will. And then, as always, our In Case You Missed It segment, rounding up any news, notes, and information that we might have missed in the last week of all of our shows that we do. It's a chance for us to kind of circle back on everything. But good morning, Sandra. How are you?
I'm great. Every time we get to do one of these, Lisa, I'm like, yes, feels like home. So I'm happy to get into midweek action with you. I'm happy to go over the games today. Some of our picks that we made last week, do a little score check on that. But I'm here for it. How are you doing?
I am doing well. You kind of alluded to it right there, our score check, because back in the old days of A3, you and I would preview every single matchup in the NWSL and recap them, which we still do on Attacking Third. But you and I got to give our picks and predictions for every single match that happened. And I would try to keep score as the producer of the show, as it was a podcast, and say, okay, like, how many did you get right? How many did I get right? But nothing really ever came of it. Now we have a real producer, Mark Seaman, who runs our shows. I was just a fill-in for a couple years there.
You did great, bud.
And thank you. Thank you. But he is actually keeping score and writing down what we do and how we do them. And there will be something on the line at the end of the season for how many we get right and how many we don't. So last week, we're just going to start with this, because last midweek, we had our first midweek games and we gave picks and predictions. There was three games. And I just have to say, I got all three right. I'm a winner.
You got it. It's all about the bragging rights. I would have had an equal reaction had I won, but you know, I'll take two out of three. Really, I will, because there is nothing in the world more unpredictable than NWSL. So I'm actually all right with my two out of three.
That's a pretty good call. But I mean, if you're not first, then you're the first loser. Oh gosh, the friendly competition here is just, it's so strong. It runs so deep. But with all of that being said, we have more NWSL midweek action coming at everyone tonight. It is technically match day 7 in the NWSL. It will be the Houston Dash against Gotham FC, Seattle Reign against Kansas City Current, and the San Diego Wave against Utah Royals. All of these matches happening tonight, Wednesday, May 8th. Let's dive into the first one. Houston Dash against Gotham FC. This match happening at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Houston coming off a 1-1 draw with Kansas City. That was the four-hour weather delay match in which Houston goes into the halftime down 1-0. They come out in the second half and they look really good against the Kansas City side. Rookie Amanda West, she gets the equalizing goal for the Dash. And they are taking on a Gotham side that is coming off a 1-0 win against North Carolina that Gotham hosted, the goal coming from Lynn Williams. An interesting matchup between these two sides, frankly, because Houston has been struggling throughout this season and Gotham not playing their best football, but squeaking out wins when they can. But they're always really, really narrow wins. When you look at this matchup, Sandra, what jumps out to you between Houston and Gotham?
Well, I think right off the bat, we're looking at the quick turnaround. I think something that stood out for me over these previous midweek matches was a couple of them didn't have quite that midfield midweek kind of feel to them. I think maybe there were moments where it's like, oh, maybe there's going to be long periods of feeling each other out. Maybe they could be some sleepers, but no, we had a couple of like heavy score lines and we had some other ones that were end to end. And then we all obviously had the massive, issue with Houston and the weather delay that we have to take into consideration as well. So I appreciate both coaches coming out of that game with Kansas City and Houston kind of trying to speak out and be vocal for their teams and how that type of stuff really, really affects both squads. Doesn't matter what the result is at the end or the scoreline. Both teams kind of suffered from that lengthy delay. Maybe Houston has the benefit here of being able to not travel, stay at home, be the hosts. So maybe that is something where they have a leg up on a quick turnaround, but I'm not too sure because it's not exactly a 90-minute performance that we're talking about for Houston that they can build off of. We're talking about a really good second 45 minutes that they're kind of building off of. And I think that's what we want to see for Houston. We're still looking for that kind of statement game that says, here's the direction we're going and we're going to try to keep this energy and keep that going. And then you have, I think, Gotham that are riding a bit of momentum themselves. And I'm here for the Lynn Williams show because it's one of my favorite shows in the NWSL. So I think this one's going to be a bit of a grinder for Gotham because thing about Houston, Texas is it's not an easy place to play, especially on a quick turnaround. But if Gotham's recipe this year is kind of being one of these gritty grinder teams that will keep things in a narrow scoreline to come out with the victory, I'm going to maybe take them when it comes to that type of game plan. So I think quick turnaround, I think Lynn Williams finally breaking through is going to be the X factor for me. I'm going for Gotham in this one.
I like that shout for Gotham. I mean, their win that they picked up over the Courage was their first win in 5 matches, and it was Lynn Williams' first goal of the season. It was a lot of good firsts and a step in the right direction for Gotham. But it's going to come down to 90-minute performances for both of these sides because neither one – Houston nor Gotham has put together a complete match all season, whether it's Gotham conceding sloppy goals that they shouldn't have or not being able to finish the chances that they've created. I think we're going to see that again for Gotham in this match because of Jane Campbell and the brick wall that she continuously builds every single match in front of goal. She's coming off 12 saves, an NWSL record for the regular season, for the Dash, and for the league. That ties a record. It is incredible what she does, but it's because that there's space and options. And Gotham's high press has been really good over the last few matches. Against North Carolina, that's what ultimately won Gotham the game. And if Gotham can high press against Houston in a 3-back when they look to build out and they struggle to build out, that is going to be where Gotham feasts on what Houston mistakes can bring. And if Lynn Williams starts, she is so good at the counter press, understanding when to bite, which way to push the defenders, how to get in behind, get in their heads, bait them into thinking that they can make a pass. And then her close down speed is so quick, they don't have any time to do anything on the ball and she picks it off. So I think that Gotham is going to take this one in Houston and just midweek action. Gotham is going to get the win. But I want to know from you about Houston, Sandra. Fran Alonso has taken over a new team this year, and he's trying to implement new strategies with how Houston plays in a 3-back with some players out of position, trying to keep possession of the ball and stick to a game plan even when it's not working in games. How much pressure is on Fran Alonso to pick up a win, not just a draw, but to pick up a win considering his head might be on the chopping block?
I think there's significant pressure. I don't know if I would go as far as say his head's on the chopping block, and that's only because of the support that we've heard from the franchise, right? General manager Alex Singer has gone on record and said that they're all kind of bought into to this vision by Fran Alonso. And I think that would also include the front office, you know, at this point where they brought him in to try to turn things around, to try to implement that vision, and that they want to try to stick to that. And we've also heard Dana Ordonez be pretty vocal on that, which is interesting to me because I think this is a specific player that we look at week in and week out, who's constantly being played out of position. And I think another way to say that is not being put in a position to succeed. Right. So but I think you framed that pretty well. I think in terms of the word pressure, absolutely. And I think he knows that as well, because I think coming off of that big lengthy weather delay and seeing them get that equalizer from Amanda West and the way they were celebrating on the sideline. And one of the things that I've noted, and I kind of was posting through it on social media, I was like, God, I really do appreciate the way that Fran Alonso celebrates any and every single goal that the Houston Dash get as if his life depended on it. And I think the other part of that is because maybe he kind of does right now. I think something else in the evolution of NWSL that we're noticing, Lisa, is that it's a pressure cooker. That it's one of the top leagues in the world. There's always going to be that topic for another day where folks want to talk about which league is the best in the world. But as far as NWSL, it's incredibly competitive. That's the reputation it has. And if you're not getting results, they're automatically going to look to the coaching staff and say, what's going on here? So I would agree with you that there is a layer of pressure, but I don't know if it's enough to kind of just pull the seat out from under him. I think you have to show, like you said, a full 90-minute performance from this Houston Dash side. You have to show that this vision that you are putting in place is going to eventually start to take form and take place and show the bigger picture at the end.
And remember, rumors and it has been talked about that Houston Dash made some moves, right? They brought in Paige Nielsen. They solidified their defensive unit. There's also talks of bringing in Brazilian international defender Tarciane.
But she's not going to be with the Dash till the end of the month, so they still have to figure things out in the back.
Still waiting on the visa front. So that, to me, is where Alonso is also kind of holding out hope, verbally at least, with the club, right? Like, don't worry. Like, I brought these players in. Like, give me a minute to work with them and get them in. Tarciane isn't even here yet from Brazilian international. Can she get here and then maybe talk about his role? I mean, that if I was him, that's where I'd be pleading and praying. So I'm going to go with Gotham getting the win. Who you got? Did I miss it?
I like that we're both starting out for Gotham for this one. So we'll see if we stick with the same picks throughout.
We'll circle back on this next week. Next matchup that we have, Seattle Reign against Kansas City Current. This match at 10 p.m. The kickoff, 10 p.m. Eastern time. Seattle, they're coming off that 3-2 win over San Diego. A gritty, grinding, playing a player down win that they did. They will not have Ziara King heading into this Kansas City Current matchup because King received a red card 9 minutes into the match against San Diego last week. Meanwhile, Kansas City, they're coming off the 1-1 draw with Houston Dash, ends up being a 4-hour weather delay, as we just talked about a little bit. And there was some comments from head coach of Kansas City, Vlatko Nenadovski, following that match, because Current on the road in Houston, they then have to get to Seattle for this midweek match, and they miss their flight out of Houston because of the delay and the weather that happened. So Kansas City isn't able to get to Seattle when they initially planned, and they lose an entire training day. That is a factor heading into this match. So Seattle, Kansas City, which way are you leaning?
Oh my goodness. I think there are pros and cons on both sides. I think there's strengths and opportunities on both sides of the pitch. I think you nailed them just now, talking about the game that Kansas City was just coming off of, the fact that they're not going to have Ziara King going into this game as well, and also, of course, the fact that it's a quick turnaround. It's a midweek match for these two. The other kind of maybe X factor or other 1v1 matchup that I'm looking at in this one is, I love a coaching battle. I've been waiting for Vlatko Andonovsky's return to the league. As soon as Kansas City Current announced it, this was it. I said, I cannot wait for Laura Harvey and Andonovsky to go up against each other. And I like that we're getting a preview of it, of, you know, 6, 7, 8 at this point, weeks into the season for these two teams, because there's familiarity there. I mean, these are two coaches that have coached in NWSL for a long time. They are familiar with each other. They've also worked together, right? They were, you know, both part of that coaching staff with the U.S. national team. So there's a lot of familiarity there. So I think because of that, we might get a little bit of a closer game than the others in this midweek match. And I do wonder if this is the one that's going to be the draw, Lisa, because of all of these similarities between the two of them. He's coached a handful of players on that Seattle Reign team. He knows what they're about. How is he going to adjust the tactics when, like you mentioned, they lost a certain amount of things coming out of that? And again, going back to even touching on Fran Alonso, I like that the coaches were vocal about that coming out of that game. If you're interested in Andonovsky's thoughts, we wrote him on .com for you. You can hear all of his thoughts about coming out of that game and what they lost coming out of the lengthy weather delay. I don't know if this one's going to be scoreless, Lisa, but I can't get out of a draw from my gut. I really think this one has the makings of a draw.
I 100% understand that, because I was also grappling with, is this going to be a draw? What's going to happen? And every single day changes how I predict this game is going to happen. Because initially I was like, Kansas City is going to be taken down at some point during this season. Not by Seattle. Seattle has struggled this year. I mean, they can't score goals. Their defense has a lot of holes in it. They're just a bit all over the place. And they're not very deep. They don't have a lot of depth. Then yeah. King goes out with a red card. That loses another element of depth in their front line. So it's not looking great. But then you take into account that Kansas City couldn't get to Seattle when they wanted to. Seattle just snapped that 5-game losing streak that they were sitting on. And a lot more things kind of come into play. Kansas City is also without Bea Zanerato for the second match now, which she is NWSL Player of the Month. And she's a main factor in why Kansas City has been so consistently good. Not why they're good, but consistently good because of Zanerato. They're now without her as well. There is some element of the spoiling day for Kansas City has to come at some point. And I did a little research on Seattle and when they play midweek games. Their first ever midweek game in Seattle, home match, was in May of 2013. So this is the first year of the league. Seattle lose 4-2 to the Washington Spirit on that Thursday midweek match. Since then, Seattle has played 16 regular season midweek home matches. They have not lost a single one. They are 14 wins and 2 draws in those 16 regular season matches since June of 2013. And they've only allowed 1 goal in their last 7 midweek home league games dating back to 2018.
I'm curious if we can narrow that down to Lumen Field. I'm very curious about that.
I didn't dig that hard.
Because they haven't played a lot of midweek matches at Lumen, I don't think. But that's a massive stat, and I love you for giving that.
Isn't that a crazy stat? So that just leans me a little bit more towards Seattle. But I don't think Kansas City is not going to score. They're just not going to score. Their 2 draws that they have this year, they did come on the road. They got goals out of both of them. Kansas City scores. They find the back of the net. I also think this is going to be a draw.
I love it. I love it here. My favorite.
I love it here too. It's so fun. If Seattle gets this win though, I'm not going to be surprised by any means because of how good they do at midweek games. They haven't had to travel. Their game was also earlier in the weekend, last weekend when Seattle played initially, because they played on a Friday. They've had a little bit more time to rest than Kansas City. A lot of factors lean in Laura Harvey's way. So we'll see. Kansas City, Seattle. You can watch the game tonight, 10 p.m. All right, here's a big one. San Diego Wave against Utah Royals. The first ever meeting between these two sides ever. 10 p.m. Eastern time on CBS Sports Network. Ali Trostmartin and Lori Lindsay will have the call. San Diego, they're coming off that 3-2 loss to Seattle away that they should have won, hands down. They will be without Kristen McNabb, who received a red card during that match. Meanwhile, Utah, they're coming off a 2-1 loss to Angel City, where they did score first and they had a goal. They had an opportunity and they lost that game to Angel City. Now they're on the road, another California matchup against San Diego. Which team bounces back and picks up points after both coming off of losses on the weekend?
Lisa, this is the game that I've got circled. It's not because it's the CBS Sports Network game. Listen, these are the two teams that I desperately, desperately want to see a response from. We had A3. I do my power rankings with you guys. You asked me about some of the teams, particularly San Diego. I referenced them as the streakiest team in the league right now, that I wanted to see something from them. I don't know if it's going to be in this match, but on the other side of that, Utah Royals as well. I think this is another team that we're still trying to kind of figure out, along with them, who they are, what is their team identity, you know, how are they presenting themselves to oppositions in the league. And I do wonder if maybe going on the road, a not so lengthy road trip to San Diego, mm-hmm. getting out of the home stadium while still having a really good environment to play in, is this the game where they maybe take a look at their opposition and say, hey, they're hurting a little bit, this is the opportunity? I think I'm going to save this one as my bold prediction, and I'm going to go with Utah on this one. I'm going to say maybe they do enough here to try to squeeze and pull out a win, and I hope that it's like a goal-scoring fest. I hope Allie Sentner gets at least two goals and gets the start and gets two goals. I want to see it. I want to see a shot from distance from Maddie Pogarch to see if maybe they can open some things up there. Lengthy injury report for this wave side. And I think with so much of it focused on that back line, that maybe we get a bit of open play between these two. Yeah. And they both just kind of go for it.
That's a great shout. On the injury report list, out defender Abby Dahlkemper, defender Naomi Girma, defender Kristy McNabb on a suspension, Sophia Jakobsen and Alex Morgan, and Mel Barcenas also all out for San Diego. Okay, so do you think Allie Sentner is going to be the goal scorer?
I hope so. She's always trying to put some work in there for Utah. Maybe I'm on the Henry. Maybe she opens her goal. Her goal scoring account with Utah.
She looked pretty good last week for Utah on the weekend against Angel City. Really good moments. Now, again, she's going up against her former team. So is there an element of I've got to level up? But I want Amandine Henry to be able to influence the game more in the midfield for Utah. If she can do that, get a little bit higher up the pitch, create some opportunities, be more deceptive, control the tempo for Utah, that's the only way Utah is going to win. You mentioned Allie Sentner. She has scored two or assisted two in each of Utah's last four goals, and she leads Utah with 16 shot attempts, 13 of them coming from outside the box. Now, of Allie Sentner's 13 shots from outside the box, she's hit the target 9 times, 4 more than any other player in the NWSL this season. So not only is she confident on the ball, Allie Sentner can shoot from distance, and she's accurate from distance, which only increases her confidence. She's growing. She's rolling. I just never see Casey Stoney dropping points at home.
That's fair. That's totally fair.
Nonetheless, that's not happening. They talk so much about protecting Snapdragon and using it and building a fortress and using the 12th man as the stadium and the fans there. And people in our chat, shout out to all of you. Claire, Noni, I believe. There's a couple of you in our chat right now that are going to the game.
Okay.
Sandra, you know these Wave fans. They are the loudest ever. They are not going to let this happen. If San Diego drops points, it's only in the case of a draw. However, I think that they're pretty upset with how the season has been going. And Casey Stoney made that evidently clear a few weeks ago, benching essentially starters and using her depth and flexing that muscle by bringing Jaden Shaw in off the bench and continuing to do that. They lose again away at Seattle, playing up a player for 80 minutes. They should have won that game. Yeah. I cannot imagine the conversations, the accountability that is being placed on these players. Danielle Colaprico saying 2 weeks ago, I spoke with her and she was saying, it's on all of us. It is on me. I need to do a better job in the midfield. 100% each of these players for San Diego is just taking control of it and accountability for the fact that San Diego hasn't been able to pick up wins. They're not going to lose against Utah Royals. San Diego. Thank you. I like that you're going Utah, though, because we have to have some picks that are different.
We got to have something different here. Okay. And if it turns into the L, then I'll take the L. I feel like I'm going to be a winner either way, because I think these are the two teams that I'm like, show me something. And if it ends up going the ways of the wave, then I'll be satisfied with that as well.
So, okay, we have three matches tonight. Utah against Gotham. We both think Gotham is going to win. Seattle Reign against Kansas City Current. I think that's going to be a draw. And then the nightcap, 10 p.m. Eastern on CBS Sportsnet. San Diego Wave hosting the Utah Royals, the first ever meeting between these two sides. You can watch it on CBS Sports Network. Ali Trostmarin and Lori Lindsay on the call for you. We both picked different sides. You're going with Utah Royals. I'm going with San Diego Wave. We'll circle back and see what happened. That is our NWSL midweek preview. Don't go anywhere, though. We have a lot more to dive into. We're going to chat some goalkeepers next. We'll be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hey, welcome back to Attacking Third. We had NWSL midweek matches that we just finished previewing, and I'm seeing in our chat on YouTube right now, Sander, people are like, hey, what are your locks? What are we doing? I think people are voting, and I mean, like, actually betting and, like, doing things. This is pretty cool. So of those three games, I want to ask you, which is your lock? Like, hands down, that is my prediction that's going to win.
For the midweeks?
Yes, for the midweeks.
Oh, I'm sticking with what we said. Look, we both had Gotham, so I got Gotham.
I know, but which game, like, of the three, which game are you, like, 100% that's what's happening?
Ooh, probably, yeah, Houston and Gotham. I'm feeling good about Lynn Williams. I believe in Lynn Williams.
I agree. I think Gotham, too, is going to get it. I'm just trying to help our people out, trying to make some money if they're betting.
All right. Don't come for me if we're incorrect.
Okay, let's switch gears. NWSL, we are through 7 weeks of action, and we have seen a lot of different rotation in the goalkeeper position. We have seen some depth there. We've also seen some shallowness in that position and that role. And coming off of last weekend, Jane Campbell tied the NWSL record for saves in a regular season match at 12. For the Dash and the NWSL, that was a record. This is our reigning NWSL 2023 Goalkeeper of the Year. It is no surprise that she is tying and breaking records through the first 7 weeks of play. Now, also, we have to remember Houston gives up a lot of shots. And for her to make all these saves, there's an element of that to come through it. But she only concedes one against Kansas City. On the other side of this, we had three major goalie errors over the past weekend. Major. Kaylin Sheridan at San Diego Wave, Alyssa Nayer at Chicago Red Stars, nice, and A.D. Franch in Kansas City. All three of these major, major errors from the top goalkeepers, arguably, in the league. I would argue that number one Canadian goalkeeper, Kaylin Sheridan, number one United States goalkeeper in Alyssa Nayer, and number two United States goalkeeper, A.D. Franch. all leading to a goal. This begs the question of what is happening with the goalkeepers in the NWSL right now, Sandra? What is happening? Is it attacking that much better? Like, what can you explain to me?
Right. Is it a mix of both here? Look, when our producer Mark presented this to us, I was like, you know what? This can actually be kind of fun to talk about, because I think you said it right there. Is it the goal scoring? I mean, look, we're seeing a lot of goals in NWSL, week in, week out, highlight worthy. I mean, my goodness, we've got a freaking goal tracker for Kansas City Current as part of, you know, one of the like little fun segments that we do with A3. So all of that's fun. Like, who doesn't love a home run or a touchdown? Who doesn't want to see some dingers, right? We love goals. But at the same time, you and I particularly, we love to talk about defenses. We love to analyze goalkeepers. So in that aspect, it's been a little bit, I don't want to say disappointing, because I'm not here to rag on the keepers, but it's been maybe underwhelming. And I think part of this segment we were so excited to get into was because a stat like Golden Boot is just automatic. I don't want to say lock, but it's just an automatic figure that you can follow. We're seeing a lot of goals, in particular, some individual brilliant performances from players. And we are watching a very early and exciting Golden Boot race. So when we look on the other side of that, that had us with a bunch of question marks. We're like, who's actually taking an early look at that goalkeeper of the year finalist category? And who's kind of presenting a case? And I think that's completely wide open at this moment, where we're looking at teams and how they're either 6, 7, or 8 weeks into their season. Is it enough, Lisa, to say, oh, it's still early days? Because it's not. I mean, for me, it's not. For me, we're halfway to halfway. That's where we're at right now. So I don't know. I'm a
little. What is that? A quarter? Let's do some real math here, Sandra.
Yeah, I was told there was going to be no math here, and here I am trying to do the fractions. Yeah, I guess we're about a quarter way through, depending on the club that you're looking at, right? But I think not only some of these errors that you pointed out, but these are like errors from like keepers that we are, you know, are synonymous with like iconic goalkeeper performances in net. So the fact that we are coming out off of a week where we can point out, you know, three kind of top tier elite goalkeepers, right, and say, hey, like, what was the thought process behind that? Or what was the thinking behind that? Maybe it was a good week for us to chat about this. So I don't know. For me, it's wide open. I think maybe it does have to do a little bit with the fact that we are seeing some really exciting, you know, attacking sequences, you know, for NWSL this year. But again, to sort of keep nitpicking at the points that you're making, some of those errors weren't exactly these like high-flying, dynamic, you know, classy finishes. My goodness, Alyssa Nayer's error was off of Tess Bodie's back. Yeah. You know, well, I mean,
I would even argue that in the Kansas City Houston match, Jane Campbell, yeah, congrats for making 12 saves, but the goal that Houston conceded to Temwa Shoyinga was like, it was like moving through molasses. Yeah. The ball was rolling so slow.
Yeah.
It almost felt like it was an error. I mean, it wasn't necessarily, but I imagine Campbell watches that back and says, I should have that. I should have that. Or defenders look and say, we should have stopped that from happening. It was just rolling so slowly into the goal. It makes the difference between goal scorers scoring absolute worldies and golazos on the weekend to some of these goals that are being scored as like, okay, no, that's an error. And that the forward got lucky, or, you know, like Tess Bodie, she just got lucky. Right place, right time for the ball to ricochet off her back and go in the net.
Yeah. It was fun to hear her chat a little bit about it at the halfway point as well. Or even she was just like, not the way, you know, I score goals, but like, we'll take it. Like, there's a little bit of understanding where it's just like, this is so clear and obvious an error, you know, and so that's tough. And I, you know, even the equalizer for Houston and coming out of that same game, poor Ellie Wheeler coming in as a substitute, right, for Haley Mays. So we're talking about a little bit of maybe a soggy pitch coming into play with the weather conditions, maybe some miscommunication on a sub coming back in, but the positioning, right? Not ideal.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot you could blame in that Houston Kansas City game, but, we're circling the goalies in this segment. So we're doing that. Well, I want to ask about this because I've had the privilege and the pleasure of working in the NWSL and covering it since 2020, which is when I first started talking to coaches weekly before games about what's happening. And since 2020, certain coaches, not every single one, but majority of the coaches in the league have said, we have a goalkeeper 1A and 1B. We don't have a number one and we don't have a number two. It is the smallest of margins that are separating our first string from our second string. And being a goalie in the NWSL is arguably one of the hardest positions because if you're in good form, you're going to keep rolling. And if you're not, and the other goalie, the 1B gets an opportunity, they can just take it and run. This year, it doesn't feel as if there is as much competition between the quote first string and the second string goalie within these teams. When you look at across the board of the NWSL, there's not as much depth as there has been in years past, which could potentially be because of a lack of development in the position for the goalkeepers or a lack of experience, right? Once they get to the level, they sign a contract, they could be on a team for 2 to 3 years without seeing minutes, significant minutes. I should say that with the Challenge Cup the last few years, that's when we often saw goalkeeper rotation. And that was when opportunities for goalkeepers to get game minutes. We don't have that anymore. Every single game matters towards the regular season. I dug into this a little bit. OL Reign this year, they have split time with their goalkeepers, 4 matches and 4 matches for each Laurel Ivory and Claudia Dickey. That hasn't really happened elsewhere of the other 13 teams in the NWSL. Am I on to something here about like not having Challenge Cup games? Like, I don't know. No. Is there something here?
I think it's a fair shout. I mean, but I'm also curious of, again, I think maybe it goes back to what I was kind of alluding to. Like, is this technically considered still early in the season? Is a quarter of a season still considered the early phase of the season? I mean, we're looking right around the corner to like the Summer Cup, you know, is that when we're going to see some differences there where we're in competition and in level, you know, a little bit. I'm curious about that for sure, but I like how you went, you know, kind of dug back into your beginnings of covering things and your conversations with coaches. And because you know what, even though I've been covering this for a little longer, I'm in 100% agreement with you on there. I love that framing because it's correct. If there's a 1A and a 1B, and I for some reason, like it just, I think back even to like 2016, like I think back to that Washington Spirit side that made it all the way to the final. My goodness, Steph LeBay was a starting goalkeeper for that team. But head coach Guevara was like, we're going to split some time here because it was an Olympic year as well. So there was some rotation out with, you know, balancing international duty for Canada and Kelsey Weiss getting starts for the Spirit as well. So they were a team that also rode two goalkeepers all the way to a championship final appearance. And we're talking about a time where Challenge Cup did not exist, where there were not these kind of cup competitions in play for NWSL. So it's an interesting shout and stat for sure.
I mean, one of the questions that our producer Mark threw at us was like, okay, who needs a change at the position? I think that's really hard for me to answer because I'm not watching this quote second string 1B goalies in training. And we haven't seen them enough in practice. The only ones I can
not
really
at this point to, in the league, like you,
right,
like you mentioned.
Exactly. And the only one I could really speak to is at Gotham and the amount of depth that Gotham has in their goalkeeper position. They had Cassie Miller, who is a number one goalkeeper. She split time with AD French last year in Kansas City. She was starting. Now they bring in Katrin Berger, who seems to have taken over that role. They also have Michelle Bados. They also have Neely Martin. Can we add her to the list? But there's a lot of there's a lot of former starting goalkeepers at Gotham right now. Yeah. They're kind of hogging all the talent in the best way, right? Like that's
it might be smart though. Like
smart.
I mean, that's the question. It's like who needs a change? And you automatically look at Gotham as that example. Look. Injuries are a real thing. They happen. Oh. We are watching Gotham having to manage that, deal with that in real time. And that is like at this point across all lines. And that includes that goalkeeper position. We both really liked when they made that free agency signing for Abby Smith. We thought that was going to be a piece for them to build around. And she had an incredible 15 game run with them in her first season, but she's been dealing with some injuries, right?
Right. It
made additional moves for Cassie Miller. Now we're seeing with AKB. So they're, I appreciate that Gotham is looking long-term. They're thinking chess, not checkers. You know, they're like, we have to make moves. If you want to be competitive in this league, you have to have the bodies essentially. Yeah.
Chestnut checkers. I don't know what that is. Adding that to my list to Google at the end of this show.
Yeah, I just am like, you know, I don't know. Again, the string of games that we have to operate in front of us. Like, it's small. I don't know. It's small. And like, for like with Kansas City, I think for a while there where it's like, wow, look at this like very exciting team. They're unbeaten. They're probably the most exciting team in the league right now. But they concede goals, right? Like that's the other stat for them. So then it's like, okay, well, does that mean that there should be a goalkeeping change? And there's also that sub question where it's like, not necessarily, maybe it's about what's happening in front of the goalkeeper right now.
Exactly.
There's also those added layers as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you look at that in Houston, hands down, what's happening in front of Jane Campbell. All right, Claire Scott joining us live on YouTube. Claire, thanks for jumping in. You're posing a question for us. Hey, Claire says, hey, I've got a question for Lisa and Sandra. Who's the top goalkeeper in the league right now? I absolutely love this one. I think last week, Kaylin Sheridan at San Diego. Yeah, it is week to week. Kaylin Sheridan at San Diego is incredible. She is absolutely one of the best goalkeepers that this league has had and had the privilege of having play in this league. I also think Katie Lund has done a really good job this year to develop her game, right? Growth from last year to this year for Katie Lund is she can now play with her feet and she's looking to build out of the back and she's looking to drive balls out of the back and find her sixes and Taylor Flint and Jalen Howe on the ball that is making her game elevated and it's changing for her. But there's also some slip ups and mishaps. Like it's hard for me to kind of judge that. It is a week to week thing, but I would say Sheridan and Katie Lund are my top ones right now. Sandra, what do you think?
Listen, we literally had an episode not too long ago where we played GM and we both were going after Kaylin Sheridan. So I'm 100% with you on that. I think Kaylin Sheridan is possibly the top goalkeeper in the league right now. But again, it's week to week because Claire, had you asked me this question maybe a couple weeks ago, even, you know, a week and a half ago before North Carolina had a tough couple of midweek games on the road, I would have said Casey Murphy because this was a team that was not necessarily conceding goals in the way that they did when they had that game against Orlando. They had three clean sheets. So I would say maybe Casey Murphy at that time. But coming off of this string of games on the road, it's like, again, week to week, different form. So I would say Kaylin, I think in terms of, we started this off saying like, who is actually going to be in the running for goalkeeper of the year? And I think when it comes to finalists, if we had to pick like a 3 to 5, I would agree that Sheridan and Lund should be in that conversation. Perhaps Murphy and Nair to an extent. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're looking at bunch of saves for saving's sake, I guess maybe you include Jane Campbell, but that's not always a happy stat when you're saying, look how many saves this goalkeeper is making for our club. That is the number and stat where you look at other issues on the pitch. So
like, could they have done, for me, elements come into it and I'm not saying Jane Campbell has done this, but like, did they make a save where they parried it and kept the ball in play? And then they had to make another save when they initially, the smarter play would have been to parry it out of bounds or to grab onto the ball, or instead of punching it, could they have grabbed it? Those are like elements when you really get into the nitty gritty, which my brain just goes there. So Claire, thank you for the question. We really appreciate it. Anyone joining us live on YouTube, if you've got questions, drop them in the chat. Maybe we'll answer them and it spurs a great conversation. So thank you. Shout out Claire. Don't go anywhere. We are chatting, in case you missed it, next and chat about everything that's been happening since our last week's segment. Don't go anywhere.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, welcome back to Attacking Third. This is our In Case You Missed It segment. Sandra and I, we chat about news, notes, anything that has happened in the last week that we haven't had the pleasure of chatting about on the show. One of those being the March-April awards for the NWSL. They have been released and dropped, and I want to chat about them. Washington Spirit midfielder Croy Bethune was named Rookie of the Month. 3 goals, 2 of them game winners and an assist. She helped Washington to a 4-match win streak throughout the month and a half of play, the first 8 weeks of play so far. And then Kansas City current forward Bia Zanerato was named the NWSL Player of the Month. Zanerato with 7 goal contributions, 4 goals, 3 assists. She is on the hunt for Golden Boot and making a name for herself. Before we get into the best 11, Sandra, Croy Bethune, Bia Zanerato, good picks. Do you like these for rookie and best player of the month?
Absolutely. I'm here for it. I look, shout out to Kansas City, because I think at this point they could have had a couple of players making a case for player of the month. But I think when it comes to rookie of the month, Croy Bethune had that locked up. Absolutely. And it's ridiculous to think about how this was just for March and April, when she's already off to a really good month of May as well. So I'm good with these two picks for sure.
Me too. Okay, then we have the NWSL Best 11 of the Month. The way they roll this out is a 4-3-3. You kind of have to do it positionally. We'll start in the back. Goalkeeper Alyssa Nair from Chicago. Defender Sam Staub from Chicago. Defender Malia Berkeley from North Carolina. Defender Naomi Gurma from San Diego. And defender Casey Krueger from Washington Spirit. In the midfield, Rookie of the Month, midfielder Croy Bethune from Washington Spirit, midfielder Taylor Flint from Racing Louisville, and Kansas City's Vanessa DiBernardo round out the midfield trio. Up top for the NWSL Best 11, forward Bia Zanerato, also the Player of the Month, forward for Kansas City, Temwa Shewinga, and forward Sophia Smith. A number of Kansas City players, 3 of them.
Yeah, shocking, right?
The halls on this one. 2 Chicago players, a couple Washington players, 1 Portland, 1 San Diego, and 1 North Carolina player. Who stands out to you, Sandra, as most deserving to be on this list besides Zanerato and Bethune?
Yeah, I think if we take Kansas City out of this one, I think you got to give a special shout to Soph Smith. Portland Thorns had a very tough March and a somewhat difficult April before they turned things around. But you know who kept things looking real good for them no matter what was Sophia Smith. So I think the fact that she's been able to show that she could do it when that team is riding some lows and also riding some highs, I think is very important. So it was a good, I think it was great to see her on there as well. I also am really happy to see Casey Krueger on the list for the Spirit as well. I think there's been a lot of exciting things to talk about for the Spirit this year, obviously with Croy Bethune, but Hal Hirschfeld as well, as 2 rookies doing things for them. But it's been interesting to see on some of these highlights how Casey Krueger has kind of been that hockey assist or kind of that slingshot for kind of some of these attacking sequences for the Spirit. So I like that her play has gotten this recognition. I think it's a good shout for Sam Staub as well, you know, first year with Chicago, and the fact that they've also got Alyssa Nair in there as well. Talk about a turnaround. If we were talking about this list last year, we would not have seen defensive players for Chicago on the starting 11. So good to see a couple of Chicago players defensively for them. And shout out to John Rollins, because he's asking about Pride players. And guess what, buddy? I'm asking about that too. I guess Summer Yates didn't get enough votes. I don't know. I had her on there, so I would have loved to have seen Summer Yates get some love on this starting 11. But maybe that also speaks to the games that folks are tuning into, to the games that they're watching, to the other performances that we're seeing out of Kansas City. I mean, Lisa, you told me to take away Kansas City so that I could talk about other players. Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's shocking that some Orlando Pride players aren't on this list, but we also have to remember this is for March and April.
Yeah.
And the way, like, you really have to take into account the games, the three games that happened in March or two games, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And Orlando was picking up draws. Like, they were coming late from behind draws. It was Marta who was getting opportunities. Like, to me, yes, Orlando should have some representation on this, considering they are one of two teams that are undefeated. They're top of the standings. But that all really happened in the last 3 weeks when Barbara Banda showed up.
Yep.
So just let's talk in a month. May comes out and we look at May and what happens, I bet Barbara Banda is going to be top of the list, top of the starting 11 for this group. But I agree, it's kind of an interesting shout. I love that Taylor Flint is on this. I think we've talked about her three times already on these Wednesday shows because she has done such a good job in the midfield under Bev Yanez, dropping deeper into the midfield as a six. It's a very different role for her, and she's doing a really good job at controlling the tempo, understanding the flow of the game, switching the point of attack. Defensively, she does a good job. So I am so glad that she is in this best 11 for the NWSL.
Good stuff.
Let's talk some other news because the Women's Cup is back. And for the third time, it'll be hosted in Louisville, Kentucky, as Racing Louisville will host the four-team tournament. Racing Louisville will be joined by Italian powerhouse Juventus, South American champions Palermas, as well as a fourth international team that will be confirmed soon. This event is a knockout tournament that takes place over 2 days from August 9th and the final set August 13th. Sandra, we have the three teams. There's still one team left to be joining the Women's Cup in Louisville, Kentucky. What other international team would you like to see join the Women's Cup?
I'm going to hope that maybe there's room for a Liga MX Femenil team, but we're going to talk about some more cup tournaments happening. So I'm not too sure if that's going to be possible with Summer Cup coming up. But I would like to potentially see a Liga MX Femenil squad involved in the Women's Cup. I think
I like that.
One of the Women's Cup versions we saw expanded to six teams. It looks like they're scaling it back again for four teams. And I liked when we saw like Club America in there in Monterrey. So maybe we'll get a chance to see some more.
I like that shout a lot. I am hoping for a team from Spain. I really would love to see like maybe an Atletico Madrid. It like Barcelona is not going to come and play in this. We understand that. But maybe like Atletico Madrid, Real Madrid, that would be a bit of a stretch. But I think that that would be really fun. Add a different element of competition to the Women's Cup with Juventus, an Italian side, a South American side, and then Louisville, of course, in the NWSL. All right, we'll see. We'll keep you updated on the Women's Cup. And when that fourth club is announced, we'll let you know. We have some fun news things that we did touch on a little bit, but we like to circle back on the numbers in our In Case You Missed It segment. Lynn Williams, her 1-0 game-winning goal for Gotham FC over North Carolina Courage was Gotham's 300th goal. Incredible. It was Lynn Williams' first of the season, but Gotham's 300 goals. So snaps and claps for Gotham FC. Jane Campbell, she set and tied an NWSL Houston Dash record for saves in a match at 12. Snaps and claps for Jane Campbell. We have some USL Super League news because Dallas will be home to one of the eight USL Super League teams coming to the newest Division One league in the United States that starts in August. The Dallas City Council is voting to decide if the USL Super League Dallas team will play at the Cotton Bowl in Fair Park. That is a 90,000. All right, numbers are hard. 90,000 seat stadium for me. If that is going to be their home venue, very interesting. The CEO of the USL Super League team, Dallas, Jim Neal, and the president of USL Super League, Amanda Vandervoort, is giving remarks at the city council, and they are going to vote on this. Pretty interesting. I mean, that's a big stadium, Sandra. 90,000?
That's a lot of people. I mean, has anyone checked in on an MLS side there and how they're doing? I mean, I don't know if they're bringing in 90K, but that's incredible. I feel like we would have heard about it if that was the case, but
I mean, no, I don't think.
Okay. But I mean, look, it's, I love ambition. You know, I'm a big fan of that. But apparently this is still going to come up to a vote. And the truth of the matter is it can go one way or the other.
Exactly.
And
I hope,
you know, I would love to see it, but I don't know if we will. And that's just kind of where we at, where we're at on it. I do like the idea of another women's professional team in the state of Texas, because just like California is massive and now has three NWSL sides, you know, why not see Texas in another equally large state with the, with some other women's pro sports teams?
I'm not going to embarrass her because it's not embarrassing, but Poppy Miller, who I work with at CBS all the time and is our coworker, the other day she asked me, she was like, can I say like in Texas or should I say like in Houston? She was talking about like how she was going to set up a game. And I was like, you should say in Houston because Texas is just such a big state.
It's so big.
Texas, you could be anywhere. You could be in San Antonio or Dallas. Whereas like if they like in New York, like you're obviously in New York City or like in North Jersey. Like I was like, it's funny. It's one of those states where like you have to say the city because it's just so big.
You could be anywhere if you're
You could be anywhere. Let's jump across the pond because in the Women's Super League, there has been some reporting out of the Daily Mail that Manchester United are leading the race to sign midfielder Denise O'Sullivan, who is currently at North Carolina Courage. Her contract is set to expire at the end of this year, Sandra, and Manchester United are sniffing around. What do you know about this?
You know what? It just sort of feels like it's a little reminiscent of when we heard perhaps some rumor rumblings just in this last offseason, honestly. Looking at it reminded me of that January transfer window. And there was supposed interest in this player even as recent as just the beginning of this year. So the fact that there's continued interest around it, I think is not shocking. Denise O'Sullivan, I think at this point in her career, has shown what an incredible asset she is in the midfield. And the fact that she is a player who has, you know, kind of a double profile here in terms of someone who can produce for club, but also, you know, represent on the international stage. She's earned that praise. She's mm-hmm. earned kind of those kind of marquee headlines. I think the part of it, the angle of it being Man United, I think is particularly interesting because we've seen them struggle this year in Women's Super League. And we've heard Mark Skinner kind of get vocal a little bit and maybe take it to the franchise in some aspects, saying, hey, we want to compete. We need to make sure we're also competing for players on the market. And maybe this is some continuity of that.
I feel like in the offseason last year, United brought in JC and they just brought in a lot of players that ultimately did not pan out because United, as we take a look at the Super League standings now, Manchester United in fifth place. But we have to talk about the top of the table, Sandra, because Super League absolutely was hectic last weekend. Manchester City nearly had two hands on the trophy heading into the weekend. They end up losing. They fall 2-1 to Arsenal. Dropping those 3 points was massive for Chelsea and Chelsea's confidence and ego because two match days ago, Chelsea fell 4-3 to Liverpool. Post-match, Chelsea head coach Emma Hayes said she admitted defeat. And she was frustrated with how Chelsea didn't compete. And it looked like the Super League title hopes were gone. City dropped points to Arsenal. Now Chelsea realize, okay, we have a chance at this. We just have to break the tiebreaker, that is goal differential, at which point Manchester City was absolutely winning thanks to Bunny Shaw, golden boot winner, with 22 goals on the season. So Chelsea go into match day. They beat Bristol City 8-0. Now, Manchester City sits top the table, 3 points, just 3 points ahead of Chelsea, who sit number two. Chelsea has a game in hand. They will play Tottenham, and then Chelsea will go on to play Manchester United in the final match day of the season, whereas Manchester City, they just take on Aston Villa in one final match day. Who is winning the Super League title?
Oh, my goodness. I love that a Women's Super League is going to come down to the final match day. I mean, this has been the theme for the league for a number of seasons now. And I love that it's almost become like pre-written a little bit, that it's going to take an entire season. And while it's coming down to two teams, which for some folks might not be as exciting. It's still taking the length of the season. Look, having a game in hand for Chelsea is going to help. Absolutely. But I'm also looking at the two teams that they have to face, and it's Tottenham and Man United. And these are teams that can maybe, just maybe, play spoiler question mark. It's going to be
Chelsea's away from home for both of those matches too.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They're celebrating and hopefully riding some of the momentum from that final homestead and the motivational speech that, you know, Emma Hayes gave afterward as well. These are all things that could maybe help continue to sort of rally the team moving forward. I think it's going to depend on a number of factors. It's going to depend on who's available, right? We've seen I don't think there's enough time. I think they're going to run out of time.
So you're going with Chelsea?
I'm going with Man City. They have to make up the they have to make up the points, and they could do that with one of these teams. But
I agree. I'm going with City too. I think that they have it at the top. I've been saying that for weeks. Chelsea has been falling apart.
I think we had this conversation too when we talked about Bunny Shaw. Like, is it too, like, you know?
Would everything change now that City lost points to Arsenal? That changed everything. Oh, whatever.
I'm still going City. I would love for Chelsea to do. I would love for Chelsea to give the upset, and this is all there is left to win. And Emma Hayes is wrong that it's not over, but you need some help, and when you need some help, that's not a great recipe.
No, you don't always want help. You want to be in the driver's seat.
Yep.
All right. Our last piece of news that we have to jump through: 2024-2025 CONCACAF W Champions Cup official draw is set to take place on June 6th. 8 clubs have secured a berth in the inaugural 11-team tournament. The competition will crown a regional club champion and serve as the sole qualification en route to the new FIFA Women's Club World Cup. The qualified teams already on your board right now. I can't see it, so I'm sorry. I can't read them. Sandra, can you read them?
They're pretty small for me and this end too, but you know who I recognize immediately. We see Portland Thorns, we see San Diego Way, we see those two crests, we see Gotham FC on there Tigres. As well. We see Tigres, we see Club America. I believe we have Whitecaps on there as well. So it's gonna be good. We've got Jamaican sides, we've got Costa Rican sides. We're waiting for a third Mexican team. You know, we're waiting for a Panama team. We're waiting for a team from El Salvador. So I don't know. I think it's still a little too early to say who is going to potentially coexist in a possible group of death. Cause we still have to wait for those other teams. But the pots have been drawn, and as more of these pieces kind of come into the puzzle, we'll probably revisit this and maybe have a little chat of group chaos and group death and
group chaos. Of course, we'll keep everyone updated on the CONCACAF W Champions Cup. The draw is taking place June 6th. Hopefully some more news before June 6th comes around. All right, Sandra, that was our show. Any final thoughts from you?
Tune in tonight, CBS Sports Network. You want to see San Diego Wave, and you want to see Utah Royals. And of course, you want to watch the other games on NWSL Plus, but you particularly want to watch that one on CBS Sports Network.
You sure do. Watch NWSL midweek action. It all starts tonight at 8 p.m. Don't forget, Attacking Third will be back in studio tomorrow. You can watch us on Golazo Network alongside Darian Jenkins. I think we got Aaron West in studio tomorrow. Sandra Herrera and myself will all be there chatting women's footy. Thank you, everyone, so much for joining us. Make sure to follow Attacking Third wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review. We are available at youtube.com/attackingthird, and you can catch us on the CBS Sports Golazo Network for all your women's football coverage. For Mark and Sandra, I'm Lisa. This was Attacking Third.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.